There has been some weird winter weather this year, wetter than normal in some parts of the West, a continuation of a decade-long drought in other parts. And scientists are just now starting to see signs of what this winter weather in the West is going to mean for reservoirs, this year's wildfires, and diseases like West Nile virus and perhaps hantavirus. Is there anything that can be done to prepare us for what we might expect with forest fires or disease outbreaks? That's what we'll be talking about now. So if you'd like to join our discussion, our number, 1-800-989-8255, 1-800-989-TALK. Kelly Redmond is the Deputy Director and the Regional Climatologist for the Western United States at the Western Regional Climate Center in Reno, Nevada. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Ira.
Hi. Paul Epstein is the Associate Director of the Center for Health and the Global Environment and an instructor in medicine at Harvard Med School in Boston. Welcome back to the program, Dr. Epstein.
Good afternoon, Ira.
Hi. Kelly, the last vision I had of the West was digging out of these, what, spring giant snowfalls.
Well, we've certainly had a number of them over the winter. This winter kind of snuck up on us. It just continued to bring in storm after storm. And they started out with a bang in October, where we had a very uncharacteristic storm that came into the southern half of the West, brought tremendously heavy amounts of precipitation, and about every couple weeks or so we got reinforcements all winter long, and they've continued up through the last few weeks and in the southern half of the West. And yet in the northern half of the West, it's just the total opposite story. It's sort of a tale of two cities here.
Where is the dividing line?
I'd say the dividing line, it actually runs about right through Reno. It kind of follows I-80 from San Francisco over to Wyoming.
Why such a dramatic demarcation?
You know, that's a kind of a common pattern in the West. Is the southern half of the West is often the opposite of the northern half in its precipitation. Sometimes the whole West goes up and down together, but this is a real common pattern where one part is west and the other wet and the other is dry. I would say that this difference, though, this year, it's extraordinarily wet in the South, and it's one of the wettest winters in history and the wettest winter in history in a number of places, and it's one of the driest winters in history in the North. And the only comparable year I can find was 1940-41, where there was a big El Nino that year.
Now, there was a tiny El Nino this year, right?
There was a tiny El Nino, and what's really striking is if you look at this pattern, if I look at it as a climatologist and somebody asked me, well, what caused that, I'd almost immediately say El Nino. Uh-huh. But when I look into at the circulation pattern that brought this precipitation, it really doesn't look hardly anything like El Nino. So a friend of mine put it pretty nicely over in California. He said it looks like El Nino, but it doesn't smell like El Nino.
So it's not quite a duck yet. did all this rain and snowfall actually help fill up these reservoirs we've been seeing in the West, the Lake Powell, the Lake Meads, things like that?
They have helped with the small and modest-sized reservoirs. Lake Powell and Lake Mead are two giant elephants. They contain 40% of the water storage in the western states, and they take a long time to fill up. This is going to be just kind of a blip for them. The inflow to Lake Powell is presently forecast to be 107% of average. So it's going to take several more pretty big winters to fill those reservoirs up. They are way, way down.
So this drought is not officially over anywhere yet.
It's over for some people, for some purposes, for certain kinds of plants and small reservoirs. But for the main stem Colorado, it continues on.
Paul Epstein, let's talk about what your prediction might be about what might happen with the West Nile virus this year due to the climate that we're seeing out there now.
Sure. Well, the West is not the only region that's been experiencing weird, wild winter weather, in the Northeast as well. So this is a pattern that we have to understand, that shifting weather patterns may be part of climate change. And it's the wild swings, the wide swings in weather that have the most destabilizing impacts on biological systems and mosquitoes and rodents, etc. The New York Times suggested that the recent rains in the Northwest could lead to more bees, forest fires, and West Nile. If there are more bees, I would say that the folks there should welcome them, perhaps not with open arms, because in general we're losing our pollinators, the bees, the birds, the butterflies, and so that might be a nice change.
There's a huge bee shortage around the country.
if it's perhaps 90% down in wherever we're looking, and this is one of the biological impoverishment issues related to global change, land use, and climate. In terms of fires, these late rains may have provided just the kind of kindling, but it's the long-term drought that Kelly Redmond was just describing that underlies the problem with drought-driven fires. Unfortunately, this is compounded by this situation with beetles, the bark beetles, and from Arizona all the way up through British Columbia to Alaska, the drought has dried out the rosin that drowns the beetles as they try to bore through the bark, and then warming allows them to move to higher latitudes, higher altitudes, overwinter, and sneak in an extra generation every year. So we've seen an explode during this past 5 or 6 years of intense drought, the worst in 500 years it's been called. We've seen a proliferation of these bark beetles on spruce and Engelmann firs and so on, and it's the dead stands that then compound the issue and set the stage and provide fodder for the fires. So it's drought and warming that together, the warming emboldening the agent here, the drought weakening the defenses, and along with the drought itself, we do have an increased chance of wildfires.
And the wet weather that Kelly was talking about, might we see West Nile virus on the increase, or the hantavirus due to the rodents?
Indeed. There's a bit of a paradox with West Nile. It's the urban-dwelling, bird-biting mosquitoes, the Culex pipiens and some other Culex species, actually seem to like the drought. And they get amplified in droughts because of the little bit of rain in the drains that becomes very rich and polluted and nutrient-rich. So these rains, in fact, may provide just the right amount of water to seep down into the catch basins and drains. And given the low snowpack, given the low levels of groundwater in general, we have persistent long-term drought, the Palmer Severity Drought Index, which is a function of rain and soil and so on. These things are what we find are related to this, to amplifying this bird biting and bird cycle that then with a little bit of rain, this rain or rains later in the summer, we get the bridge vectors that bite horses and other mammals and us. So this could be the setting for it.
Kelly Redmond, could forest fires be helped along even if this winter is wet?
It kind of sounds sometimes like people are never satisfied with what they're getting. Because
yeah.
you can get forest fire danger from dry weather, obviously, but wet weather, paradoxically, in certain circumstances, can lead to increased fire danger too. The situation in the Southwest right now is that the wet winter has increased the fine fuel loading, which is the grasses and the things that grow quickly and that can also dry out quickly. And so the fire danger is kind of high for those because there's been such abundant vegetation growth this winter and spring. And only up to a certain elevation, though, and then the large trees have gotten a good supply of moisture, so they've moistened up. Conversely, in the northern states, the large fuels, like the large trees and so forth, which are and the fine fuels, both have dried out because they've had 4 or 5 years and even more in some places of consecutive drought years, the driest they've ever had. So these areas are preconditioned to potentially have large fires in mature stands and crown fires and that sort of thing.
Paul Epstein, is it your opinion that the last few decades of wet weather we had in the West, where we saw all this building that's going on in places like Las Vegas and whatever that allowed to have a huge water supply, is that over? Do you think this drought is here to stay?
Well, we do seem to be locked into a persistent drought pattern, and some people relate it to conditions in the Pacific Ocean. After the 97-98 huge El Nino, we actually were in a state of a relative La Nina, meaning a cooling in the eastern Pacific, which has less cool waters evaporate slower, warm waters evaporate faster. And so there may be that we've moved into a period of persistent cooling, and despite the small El Nino this year, we seem to be persistent. But again, as Kelly Redmond was saying, we're seeing changes that are not, we've seen a shifting baseline. El Nino is not behaving the way it was. How climate change interacts with El Nino is really the question. And so long-term weather patterns are shifting in many ways.
Kelly, one more quick question, answer, I'm hoping. Any prediction for the summer based on what happened over the winter?
There isn't a very good tie, unfortunately, in a predictive sense, between winter and summer. There is some evidence in the Southwest that wet winters lead to a later start of the monsoon season, but that's a kind of a tenuous thing, and we don't understand why such a connection should be the case. So, and just as a generality, summer temperature and summer precipitation is harder to predict than winter because we don't know as much what controls summer climate versus winter climate.
Mm-hmm. Paul, you agree?
Yes, it's. I think we're having so much volatility and variability of weather that predictability is maybe the next thing to take a toll on our ability to plan.
All right. Well, I'd like to thank both of you for taking time to talk with us. Paul Epstein, Associate Director of the Center for Health and Global Environment and an instructor in medicine at Harvard Med School. Kelly Redmond, Deputy Director, Regional Climatologist for the West and the U.S., at the Western Regional Climate Center in Reno. Have a great weekend. Thank you for taking time to talk with us.
Thank you.
You betcha.
Too. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the 50th anniversary of the Salk vaccine. Do you remember polio, the scare of polio in the 50s? If you do, get on the phone and give us a call, 1-800-989-8255. We want to talk about it and what you remember it, and talk about how the polio vaccine came to be. Stick with us. We'll be right back after this break.